Earth, sky.
I really do want parents to appreciate that vaccines provide the opportunity to protect their children from truly deadly diseases. The fact that we no longer have hospitals full of iron lungs, that pediatric residents today have not even seen Haemophilus meningitis, is something that is a true success story for parents, for physicians, and for those of us in public health.
You're listening to public health expert Claire Broom, MD of Emory University, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Broom chaired a committee for the U.S. Institute of Medicine, which looked at the national vaccine plan and ways to improve it. Dr. Broom spoke with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Broom, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, what is the state of vaccines in the United States today, and how does that compare to the rest of the world? Maybe you can give us a bit of an overview here.
Certainly. The news is generally good. Approximately 90% of children have received the routine childhood vaccines, which is a very good level of coverage. And I think what's most exciting is that it has been possible to develop and distribute new vaccines over the last 20 years, which are effective against major childhood diseases that we have never had vaccines against in the past. So the system really has been able to use modern science to develop vaccines against childhood killers. Compared to the rest of the world, our coverage is higher. The real challenge is getting these new vaccines to children, for example, in developing countries who may not have the resources to have the benefit of these vaccines.
Now, would you please maybe give us a for instance, what are some of these countries you're talking about and what are some of these diseases you're talking about?
Well, maybe the best example is a disease called pneumococcal pneumonia. And the new vaccine is called the pneumococcal conjugate vaccine. Now, pneumococcal pneumonia is the leading killer of young children in the developing world, in Africa, India, Southeast Asia. And it basically can be substantially prevented by this pneumococcal conjugate vaccine. So actually, the world is coming together behind funding from the Gates Foundation and from many countries to try to make this vaccine available in the developing world.
And I understand that you're involved in shaping a national response with vaccines here in the United States in the form of the National Vaccine Plan. Would you please tell us about the National Vaccine Plan for the U.S.? What is it, and what's important for ordinary folks like me listening to know about it?
I think for people in the world, the general population, the plan is important because vaccines are very complex entities, and it's really takes a lot of collaboration between the pharmaceutical companies that produce the vaccines, the Food and Drug Administration, which regulates them, the National Institutes of Health, which support the basic research, and the Centers for Disease Control, which actually help physicians get the vaccines to individuals. So what the plan tries to do is to facilitate coordination among those many, many organizations to be sure that the country has the vaccines that it needs, and also to assure that they are the safest vaccines that are possible. The other huge area that the plan tackles is the importance of good communication. And I think one of the issues with vaccines has been the misperceptions that surround some aspects of vaccines, in particular vaccine safety.
What would you say is the biggest misconception people have about vaccines, and what would you like to say about that?
Well, in fact, I would say the very biggest misconception is people think that their children are not at risk from the diseases that the vaccines protect against. We in public health are in some ways victims of our own success. We have 90% coverage with these very effective vaccines, so the diseases are pretty invisible. However, as we've seen with the whooping cough epidemic in California, the diseases are not gone. And when people choose not to vaccinate their children, the children are still at risk for diseases which can kill the children. And I think this is something that is relatively invisible to many parents. Of course, they want to do what's best for their children, but they're just not aware that these diseases are not gone. They are just controlled by the very high levels of vaccination that we have in this country.
You know, one link that has been reported a lot in the media, perhaps in the past, not as much anymore, is these allegations that vaccines are linked to autism. Please, just take a minute or two to tell us what science says and tell us your thoughts on this reported link.
Yes, that certainly has been a very important issue, and I think it's important for people to understand the background. It appears that there has been an increase in autism spectrum disorders over the past 20 years. There's a lot of effort to try to define whether it's a real increase, but there are many suggestions that there has been a real increase. At one point, probably 15 years ago now, there were allegations that the increase in autism spectrum disorders was related to vaccines, and there have been several separate assertions of why that might be. So the Institute of Medicine, which is this formal body, independent and held to really the highest standards of scientific evidence, was asked to look at the possible association between autism and vaccines, specifically the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine or the preservative that was used in some vaccines, thimerosal. So the Institute of Medicine looked at a body of research studies and came to the conclusion that there was not credible scientific evidence to support what they call a causal relationship between the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine and autism, nor did they find any evidence to support thimerosal and autism association. So I think it's a long answer to your question, but I think it's very important for people to recognize that there are a lot of assertions made in the media, but it's important to look at the credibility and the basis for those assertions and to look at what an independent body has done to evaluate the question and conclude that there is not an association.
People say that they just want these vaccines to be proven safe and effective before they're released, with accurate monitoring and response to the side effects, and that ultimately parents should decide for their children and people should decide for themselves whether they need a vaccine. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think everybody would love to have vaccines which are 100% safe. However, what I think I would go back to is the issue of the diseases are not safe. So let's take, for example, the measles vaccine, which basically 90% of children in this country get. Before there was a measles vaccine, basically every child in the country got measles because it's very transmissible. 2 of 1,000 measles cases die. Now, the vaccine is very safe, but there probably is a frequency of about 1 in 1,000,000 children who get the vaccine who may have a severe allergic reaction. You know, would you say we shouldn't have a measles vaccine, that, you know, 2 of 1,000 children getting measles should die because there may be 1 in 1,000,000 chance of an adverse event from the vaccine? You know, I think that's what people don't really see, is that there's continued effort to try to make the safest vaccines possible. But if you don't have a vaccine, then you have people getting a disease which can be fatal.
Dr. Broom, thank you for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Dr. Claire Broom. She's an adjunct professor in the Rollins School of Public Health at Emory University. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.